Can you imagine that being done today? LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 228. This is the daily podcast where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. I'm sure glad you're here. If this is your first time, welcome. You guys that have been around for a while, show the new people around. In our reading today, we'll conclude the book of 1 Timothy with the reading of chapters 4 through 6, and then I'll have some comments. Shall we pray? Our Father, thank you for the gift of your word, because it is your way to teach us about yourself. It tells us how we can know you and how we can spend eternity with you. What a loving thing for you to do. Thank you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First Timothy chapter 4. The Spirit says clearly that in later times some believers will desert the Christian faith. They will follow spirits that deceive, and they will believe the teachings of demons. These people will speak lies disguised as truth. Their consciences have been scarred as if branded by a red-hot iron. They will try to stop others from getting married and from eating certain foods. God created food to be received with prayers of thanks by those who believe and know the truth. Everything God created is good. Nothing should be rejected if it is received with prayers of thanks. God's word and prayer set it apart as holy. You are a good servant of Christ Jesus when you point these things out to our brothers and sisters. Then you will be nourished by the words of the Christian faith and the excellent teachings which you have followed closely. Don't have anything to do with godless myths that old women like to tell. Rather, train yourself to live a godly life. Training the body helps a little, but godly living helps in every way. Godly living has the promise of life now and in the world to come. This is a statement that can be trusted and deserves complete acceptance. Certainly, we work hard and struggle to live a godly life because we place our confidence in the living God. He is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Insist on these things and teach them. Don't let anyone look down on you for being young. Instead, make your speech, behavior, love, faith, and purity an example for other believers. Until I get there, concentrate on reading Scripture in worship, giving encouraging messages, and teaching people. Don't neglect the gift which you received through prophecy when the spiritual leaders placed their hands on you to ordain you. Practice these things. Devote your life to them so that everyone can see your progress. Focus on your life and your teaching. Continue to do what I've told you. If you do this, you will save yourself and those who hear you. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and with all propriety, the younger women as sisters. Support widows who are genuinely widows, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must learn to practice godliness toward their own family first, and to repay their parents, for this pleases God. The real widow, left all alone, has put her hope in God and continues night and day in her petitions and prayers. However, she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command this also, so they won't be blamed. But if anyone does not provide for his own, that is, in his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow should be placed on the official support list unless she is at least 60 years old, has been the wife of one husband, and is well known for good works. That is, if she has brought up children, shown hospitality, washed the saints' feet, helped the afflicted, and devoted herself to every good work, but refused to enroll younger widows, for when they are drawn away from Christ by desire, they want to marry, and will therefore receive condemnation because they have renounced their original pledge. At the same time, they also learn to be idle, going from house to house. They are not only idle, but are also gossips and busybodies, saying things they shouldn't say. Therefore, I want younger women to marry, have children, manage their households, and give the adversary no opportunity to accuse us. For some have already turned away to follow Satan. If any believing woman has widows in her family, she should help them, and the church should not be burdened, so that it can help those who are genuinely widows. The elders who are good leaders should be considered worthy of an ample honorarium, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the Scripture says, "Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker is worthy of his wages." Don't accept an accusation against an elder unless it is supported by two or three witnesses. Publicly rebuke those who sin, so that the rest will also be afraid. I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing out of favoritism. Don't be too quick to appoint anyone as an elder, and don't share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Don't continue drinking only water, but use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. Some people's sins are obvious, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others surface later. Likewise, good works are obvious, and those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden. 1 Timothy chapter 6. All who are under the yoke as slaves must regard their own masters to be worthy of all respect, so that God's name and His teaching will not be blasphemed. Those who have believing masters should not be disrespectful to them because they are brothers, but should serve them better, since those who benefit from their service are believers and dearly loved. Teach and encourage these things. If anyone teaches other doctrine and does not agree with the sound teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the teaching that promotes godliness, he is conceited, understanding nothing, but has a sick interest in disputes and arguments over words. From these come envy, quarreling, slander, evil suspicions, and constant disagreement among people whose minds are depraved and deprived of the truth, who imagine that godliness is a way to material gain. But godliness with contentment is a great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation, a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and by craving it, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But you, men of God, run from these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the faith. Take hold of eternal life that you were called to and have made a good confession about in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all, and of Christ Jesus, who gave a good confession before Pontius Pilate, I charge you to keep the command without fault or failure until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. God will bring this about in His own time. He is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the only one who has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light. No one has seen or can see Him. To Him be honor and eternal might. Amen. Instruct those who are rich in the present age not to be arrogant or to set their hope on the uncertainty of wealth, but on God, who richly provides us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do what is good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good reserve for the age to come, so that they may take hold of life that is real. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding irreverent, empty speech and contradictions from the knowledge that falsely bears that name. By professing it, some people have deviated from the faith. Grace be with all of you. Paul's advice to Timothy in chapter 5 on how to deal with different age groups is very good. I've known some young pastors who went counter to this advice, very much to the detriment of their ministry. When a young so-called leader does not properly honor the more senior members, feelings are hurt, and it's very hard for the young pastor to regain the respect the seniors would like to give him had he honored their many years of service to the Lord. This even happened to me. I used to attend a church here in my hometown of Riverside, California. And as some of you know, I ran most of the tech for well over 20 years at the church before this one I'm going to be referring to. And then I got involved in doing a small bit of tech at this new church. Everything was going very well until a new young person was hired. and this new person's job included overseeing my area of responsibility. And this person began to micromanage what I was doing, completely ignoring my previous experience, which they were well aware of. But since I'm an old guy, this person edged me out. I finally quit, which was what this person was trying to accomplish. I'm not bitter about it, but at the same time, I'm not going to stay where I'm not wanted. There are places I can serve and be welcomed. I'm not boasting, but that church could have benefited from my experience. Now, in regards to elders and deacons in the church, Paul tells Timothy to do something that is seldom done today. Paul tells Timothy to reprimand the leaders in his church who sin and do it publicly so that the other leaders will be afraid to not live godly lives. Can you imagine that being done today? It would be good if we did this in the church today because Christians have the reputation of being hypocrites. If the world saw us cleaning up our own ranks, I believe we would have more credibility when we make moral statements about cultural issues. Paul tells Timothy to be cautious in ordaining someone. He says that some sins are obvious, but others take time to be found out, hence the "don't rush to ordain" instruction. On the other hand, some good and godly men are known by the nature of their service, but others serve God in such a way that they go unnoticed. Paul wants Timothy to be on the lookout for these folks too. My late father-in-law was one of these types of servants. Unassuming and quiet, he did many things in the church that were behind the scenes. He was never one to draw attention to himself or what he was doing. But because of his integrity and his servant's heart, he became known as one of the finest men in the church and served many, many terms as an elder. He's been with the Lord now for many years, and he's still remembered and loved by those who knew him, including yours truly. Paul's advice in the 6th chapter has to do with servants doing their jobs well for the name of Christ, encouraging Timothy to remain true to the teaching he got from Paul, the damage that comes to those who lust for wealth, and a reminder to fight the good fight. It's easy, when in the trenches, to get distracted by the attacks of the enemy. But when we keep the goal in mind, when we don't stray from the basics, we'll make it through and accomplish the task to which we're called. This is true for pastors, and it's true for the rest of us as well. What do you think? Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. If you'd like to find out what Bible translations I use today, go to the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com, episode 228. And if your podcast app shows the show notes, you can find it right there in your podcast app. Tomorrow we're going to read Numbers chapters 1 through 5. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Have a great day today. Bye.